My name is James Sagerton. This is the January 11th, 2022 meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee. We believe we have quorum. I'm going to ask the secretary to take the roll. R. Paul?
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Nick Arena?
Here.
Chris Corey?
Here.
Lyndon Foley?
Here.
Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Here.
Julie Hewitt?
Here.
Kim Kaufman?
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Sean Kelly McPherson?
Here.
James Sagerton?
Here.
Anita Sims?
Here.
Okay, you have 10.
Thank you, R. Paul. Okay, that brings us to adopting the agenda. I will read the agenda without the announcements. Do that later. Number one, convene meeting, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Number two, roll call. Number three, adopt agenda. Number four, chair's announcements. Welcome new members, 2 minutes. Number five, minutes approval, 3 minutes. Number six, report, if available, from the Pacifica Executive Director, 10 minutes report and question and answer. Number seven, review fiscal year 22 WPFW draft budget. General Manager Jerry Paris and Treasurer Nick Arena presenting, 20 minutes presentation, 40 minutes Q&A. Number eight, report from the ICFO, 20 minutes. Number nine, discussion of standard transaction limits, Beth Von Gunten, reporting, 5 minutes, question and answer, 5 minutes. Number 10, budget timelines and schedule for NFC review of budgets for fiscal year 22, 5 minutes. 11, unfinished business with the national office. Compile a list to share with the national office of year-end outstanding items, 5 minutes. 12, adjourn no later than 10 p.m. R. Paul, I see a couple of typos there. We have two A's on agenda.
I move to forgive the typos.
Pardon me?
I said I move to forgive the typos.
Okay.
The word agenda is spelled correctly.
But there was two A's on the agenda in the title at the top. Two A's in the word agenda.
I didn't even pull that.
You don't
I
even
just
see
have
that.
The actual
no
agenda.
Worry. Okay, and there's a paren missing on one of the items. Oh, number nine, there's a paren missing there in front of the word Beth.
Okay, well, we'll take the one from
minor.
Seven that's extra and put it in there.
There you go, that's probably how that happened. All right, a couple spacing issues. I think we can pick that up. Okay. So, are there any additions, any discussion on the agenda? Hearing none, I want to move the agenda.
Second.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted. We'll go to number four, the chair's announcements. On January 10, 2022, Pacifica received a notification from the Small Business Administration that our Economic Injury Disaster Loan, or EIDL, application has been modified from $500,000 to $2 million. The NFC membership is changing as a result of the annual reorganization elections at the stations. We look forward to welcoming new members and returnees as they are elected and seated. Tonight, we will be joined by Jerry Paris, General Manager at WPFW. He will be presenting the WPFW FY22 draft budget, assisted by NFC member and WPFW Treasurer Nick Arena. In keeping with our policy of giving priority to agenda items that involve guests, we will hear from them after we go through the usual meeting preliminaries. Our ICFO and our NETA controller are both recovering from illnesses and will both be joining us tonight to share in making an ICFO report. Tonight, we will also briefly review a corrected version of the November 2021 financials. There are no other new announcements. That takes us to minutes approval.
Wait. Question?
Go ahead, Kim.
What is this about the Eidl loan? What does that mean?
It's just all we know at the moment. They sent a letter updating.
Increasing the what we might get. Just that's it.
Yeah, the application has been modified from 500,000 to 2 million.
So they're just acknowledging that we modified the application?
That would appear to be the case.
Okay.
I think it also has a new payment amount when the time comes.
It does. 8,000 and change as opposed to 2,000.
But it's not any sort of acknowledgement that we're going to get it, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Not on that letter.
Right.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Kim. R. Paul, we were going to go to minutes. Are there any new minutes?
Yes. Yeah. I move to approve. One second. I move to approve the minutes of the December 28th, 2021 NFC meeting.
Is there any discussion, suggested corrections?
For me.
Is that Kim?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I said none for me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear the full comment.
Sorry.
Okay. Did you get them, Kim?
Yes, I got them and I read them.
Very good.
And I got your agenda apparently like 2 minutes before Anita sent it to me. So.
Okay. No worry. Understood. Okay. Any other discussion on the minutes? Hearing none, we'll consider them adopted with the understanding that they can be corrected at a later date if necessary. Number six. Now we have the report, if available, from the Pacifica Executive Director. Lydia, are you here? I don't believe she's here. Not hearing her and having no report that she's here from Fred. We'll move on to number seven. review of the fiscal year 22 WPFW draft budget with General Manager Jerry Paris and Treasurer Nick Arena presenting. Gentlemen, the floor is yours.
Hello,
Nick, do you want to open? I mean, Jerry, do you want to open with any kind of a statement?
If I may, yes, I will.
Please, please go ahead. Thank you.
Good to be on board with everybody. Happy New Year. WPFW is experiencing a bit of a recovery after a long, long trial of some hard times. But we have stabilized the station here and, happy to be able to report a good degree of stability and success here. Nick, are you on with me or with us?
Yes, I'm here, Jerry. Yep.
Thank you. I'd like to start by saying that WPFW being in what we call the DMV, the Washington metropolitan area, which includes Maryland and Virginia, is a very different market. Our competition in this market are two PBS stations that vie for positions one and two constantly. They are stations WAMU and WETA. But we have achieved a degree of success in that we are ranking now, according to the Nielsen report, in the top 20 of the stations in this market, of which there are approximately 85. So we're faring very well in this market and enjoying a good degree of stability and success with our pledge drive, despite the pandemic that we're in right now. Nick, I'm not sure, but I believe our last five pledge drives have met their goals, which is outstanding for, I think, any of the stations, considering what's going on with the market right now. A lot of our forecasts in our budget proposals have actually been low in terms of our goals. In our most recent pledge drive, which was a brief end-of-year pledge drive, we budgeted that goal for that drive at $150,000. We came in closer to $200,000, and it was actually a mistake that we budgeted it at $150,000 because originally in the 2021 budget, the goal for that drive was $100,000. So based on the proposed budget, our performance was actually very close to 200% of goal, and that has been a pattern. It is not just something that's a one-off here. It is a pattern. So we hope to share practices with the rest of the station and see the rest of Pacifica enjoy some successes also. So, Nick, can you take over for me, please?
Sure. Thanks, Jerry. And, you know, I think the thanks really has to go to you and your team, the staff, the volunteer programmers, and all the other volunteers at the station that do such a great job of really raising money for the station consistently. And so hats off to you and acknowledge you to this group. For the NFC, I sent an updated WPFW FY 2022 budget with a narrative tab to it. I sent that earlier this afternoon to add commentary. This budget has been reviewed with Anita and Julia. And as we've done in the past, we've worked the local finance committee and the staff to create the budget. I've been treasurer for the last 5 years for WPFW. This is our sixth budget together. And as Jerry stated, you know, really over the last 3 to 4 years, once the transmitter was repaired and then the new transmitter was put in place, the station has done consistently well in achieving its fundraising goals and staying on top of its payments to its vendors as well as central services. A couple just general comments about the budget. As all the other Pacifica stations, you know, we operate under a set of pledge drives that are consistent with other stations. You know, a winter drive in the February, March months, a spring drive in the May, June months, a mini drive in August, a September, October-esque drive for the fall, and then we do an end of the year, very soft soft giving drive in December. Our drives generally are three weeks long. We've only had a couple occasions in the last 3 years where we extended. But they're in general 3 weeks long for the major drives, and then for the mini drives, the August and the December drives, those are generally just 2 weeks, and with pitching. But the December drive, obviously, we continue to ask people to make year-end gifts. So our numbers in our fiscal 2022 budget, as we review those with NEDA, reflect our historical numbers from generally from the previous year. We discount those for any special events that might have happened, some one-time contributions, some things that were out of the ordinary, but we basically right-size those to up to last year and provide a bit of a conservative number and to what we think we'll do in the coming year. And so most of our donations come in the form of listener support. That is the bulk of them. That also does entail some of our car donation contributions and some of our community events that we've had in the past that sometimes get lopped into listener support. We all know that we're all working, you know, as a foundation to do more about just getting our income separated. And, you know, that's an ongoing project just for those details. We have some major donor income that we have designated, and comment on that. We have had a major donor that we've been working with for the last almost 2 years about scheduling an event to sell some of his artwork and some of his other sort of valuable possessions for the benefit of WPFW. That has been difficult because of COVID and of being able to schedule that in person, as well as any sort of auctions that can be done. So we have budgeted that in the months of December, January, February of 2022 budget. And we expect that that might come later in 2022 when things are available to open up. Personnel costs and administrative expenses, including rent, are adjusted based on the contractual requirements for the union contract, and our personnel costs and expected health care increases. Administrative expenses include contractual increases in our rent based on our lease, as well as a couple of modest capital projects, including the HVAC in the offices for the station. So with that, I will stop and take questions. And James, would you like the questions, or will you be the one to monitor the questions, and I'll just respond when you give me the heads up to answer questions?
We usually just let people ask questions, you know, as they occur, and I'll just recognize the questioner, and then they'll go ahead with the question. And gotcha. To some extent, you can engage in a little back and forth with the questioner. I just wanted to ask you, though, Nick, I see the budget that you sent at 12:55 p.m. Eastern time when I got it. I had asked you to send it around right before the meeting started so people could find it easily. Let me just take a moment and see if everybody has it in front of them. Has everybody found the budget?
What's the file name?
It says WPFW Fiscal 2022 Budget with Narrative tab.
I have it.
I have it. This is Beth.
Got it.
Okay.
I have it. This is Kim.
Sounds like most people have it. Sean, do you have it?
Got it.
Very good. Okay. So let's go ahead and see if there are any questions.
Chris, to the stack.
I hear Lyndon.
And Chris is after me.
Oh, and you heard Chris as well. Okay. Anybody else for now, or shall we go ahead with that?
Well, this is Kim. I'll wait. I do want to be on the stack, but I'll wait.
I'll put you on the stack, Kim. That's all right. You can go when you're called, or you can wait. It's okay. We've got plenty of time.
Thanks.
Why don't we go ahead with Lyndon?
Okay. Thank you. I noticed that the budget has a net income of $14,357, and I'm wondering, when you're going through the budgeting process before you increase any development expenses or administration expenses, have you all looked at paying back any of the benefits and payrolls from 2019? Budgeting for that.
Lyndon, we haven't done that yet. That is not part of what we put into the budget. We have put in amounts that we expect to be paying in the loan payment. That would be, you know, not a consistent expense. So we do have loan interest payment in there. We add an estimate but we don't have budgeted payback of those 2019 expenses yet.
That it, Lyndon?
Thank you.
Okay. And I heard Chris. Or Lyndon heard Chris, I should say.
Yep.
Okay.
Is somebody else trying to speak?
This is Anita. I'm sorry. I can wait, Chris.
Oh, okay. Well, it's up to the chair, not to me. So.
No, Chris, you had the floor, and then Kim is next, and then we can go to Anita, unless, Anita, you had a comment on the previous point?
I did. I was just going to tell Lyndon that we would only include those expenses on a cash flow basis, but not on the budget. You know, 2019 expenses that are still outstanding, if you will.
Lyndon?
I understand. I understand that.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. Thank you. So this is a, you know, WPFW has not been a particularly troublesome unit for quite some time now, and this budget reflects that. So I don't really have any immediate questions or concerns. I just have one question, and that's do you recall how many fund drive days per year you're budgeting for 22 and how many you had in 2021? And if I can add to that question, did you have to go over on any of your fund drives to meet the goals? Thank you.
Yeah. Sure. So it just a quick math of it, Chris. You know, if there's a, you know, major drive in October and in, let's say, March and in and June, we typically do 21 days for the major drive. So that would be obviously 63 days. And then for the mini drives, we'll do 2 weeks or 14 days for each of those, the August and the December. You know, so that gets us to, what, 91 days annually. So that's been pretty consistent for us over the last 4 years. I think in 2019, we extended partly due to the government shutdown that D.C. faced in fiscal 2019. And similarly, I think we had an extension maybe in one of the drives in the fall drive of 2020, but it wasn't very long. Jared can correct me, but we never extend for more than a week if we extend at all. And so we stay pretty much to those about 90 days a year, Chris. That's about it. Don't try to do more.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Anything else,
that's
Chris?
That's pretty accurate. No, that's accurate, by the way, Nick, and to Chris. We're very careful with the extensions because you reach a point of diminishing return very quickly where listeners go into fatigue and programmers go into fatigue, and we see that happen quite rapidly. So if we extend, it's very brief, and we have met goal by extending, and we get right back out.
Got it. Yeah, I appreciate that remark and agree with it. So no further questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Kim, do you want to go now or do you still want to wait?
Whoops, on mute. Does anybody else want to go? And you said all you want, Anita, right?
Yes, I did, Kim.
Okay,
Thank you.
I have a bunch of little questions, but I want to ask the biggest question first. Why are you putting the loan, is that loan interest payment? And why is that on here? Because I don't believe any of the other stations do that. my understanding was that the national office was taking care of that.
So, sure. So, Kim, to that question, we've just tried to be a little bit conservative on what might happen around, you know, an unexpected increase. I know the national office is taking care of that, but we just, because there was a talk some years ago, I can't remember which one, that the station would be apportioned a part of loan interest payments to be making. So in the last three budgets, we've gone ahead and just put that in there. We all see, and maybe some on this call may not agree that, but locally we see the budget as a working document. We want to try to be prepared for things that we don't expect. We want to try to make sure that we are keeping in mind some things that are sort of rainy day type of things. So we know that it could be adjusted and modified through the year, but we just try to take a conservative approach to what might be necessary.
Well, okay. Do you want
could
to
I,
go
this
through?
Is Lyndon, could I comment on that subject?
Sure.
It's to the, go ahead, Chris. To the stack.
I mean,
yeah, okay, thank you. Lyndon. I thought that KPFT did was apportioned $6,000 some dollars last year at one point or another. So I believe some of it is being apportioned. Of course, it all has to come from the stations anyway. That's all.
Chris, did you want to
yeah.
comment on this? And then we'll go back to Kim.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So we actually passed a motion at the NFC. It was about a year ago. And the motion was basically to apportion the interest payments by membership per station. That was supposed to have been carried down to the individual units. It was elevated to the PMB and passed by the PMB as well. So if it's not in your budgets, it should be. And so, yeah, and the amount is well known at this juncture. So it'd be very easy to get that. It could be paid quarterly. And the first payment was due in January of last year. So I realize that stations have not been doing this. It's been a little frustrating for me to watch. But, you know, without an enforcement mechanism, items like this are very difficult to make happen because nobody likes extra expenses for their stations. I get that. Makes sense to me. But, yeah, it was actually passed here and elevated the PNB, and it should be part of the budgets. Thank you.
Well, I remember it being passed, and I also remember it sort of being not unpassed at some point. Okay, we'll look for that in other stations' budgets as well. I kind of have a problem with this major income. I mean, you know, you have December where you expected like almost $70,000, and January like almost $60,000, and neither of those happened. So, and October, November didn't perform as well as your budget either. And you're doubling the amount of major donor income. And, that makes me uncomfortable. I just want to add there is going to be an election this year, so I'm not sure if these expenses for that cover what, you know, your portion of election expenses are. You have expenses for community events, but I see no corresponding revenue. So I'm not sure what's going on there.
Chris, Kim, do you want to take these one at a time?
No, I need to. To me, it would be best to have...
Hold on a minute.
Nick,
can you hold for a second? I just want to ask Kim. Kim, it seems like it might make sense if you asked one question and got an answer instead of going on to 2 or 3. Is that okay with you?
Well, I'd sort of like to go down all of them, and then we can go back. Because I just have a bunch. They may be all nitpicking, but we'll be here forever if we take one by one. So,
okay.
You know, once you see how many, you know. So, okay, so there's that. Now, you have contributions for both of the pensions. I thought one of those was eliminated. Some of your expenses are only in the first half of the year and sort of nothing in the second half of the year. That may be issues with accounting, you know, but that's sort of weird. Your consultant is really high. I don't know what's going on there. And so, in your interest bank charges, I mean, some of these months are like super, super high, and I'm not sure what that's about. So now your office supplies are really very high, considering what KPFK pays, and we're just a lot bigger. So I'm thinking maybe some of those are actually computer charges that got mixed in there. I don't understand why you're not paying any credit card fees, because I know that's a big expense for us. You know, how you handle your pledge dodge, unless that's going into the bank charges above. And your premiums seem awfully, awfully low this year. I mean, it's like a tenth, more than a tenth lower. And premiums from PRA, I would actually like to see an expense in there. I would like to see our stations use PRA premiums more. So I'm putting in a plug for a higher expense instead of not just to make an expense, but that's a really good premium for K, and you know, because they're upstairs and we have a good, you know, relationship with them. But I would think a lot of those things would do really well in DC, and I encourage you to work with PRA about that. So those are my comments, and if you want me to go back over them, we can do that. You get the gist of what I'm saying, Nick?
Yes, I did, Kim, and I took notes, so let me go through your questions. I appreciate what you're asking. To start with your major donor question. So first of all, the actual to budget income this year, we're already $42,000 ahead of our budgeted income, including the donation that we are expecting from the donor. As Jerry related earlier in the call, we had budgeted only $100,000 for listener support in December, and we received almost $194,000 in listener support in December alone. We did pick up from what had been a slower November month, but we are overall through December $42,000 ahead on that. We expect the donor's income from the sale of his artworks to happen this year, and we do think it's legitimate to keep it in the budget. Election expenses, we have not been provided the election expense numbers for the year. Those obviously can be added to the budget when there's a number being provided to us. Community events, this is just a function of not having the income but having the expense. Again, this is just a function of some of the financial reporting that we're all trying to work with NEDA and you know, to be able to have a little bit more precision there. But Our community events income has been very, very modest in 2020 and 2021, and we expect it to continue in 2022 because of COVID. I'm going to defer the question on pension contributions. I believe we have two types of that with our staff, because we have a staff that's been in place for a while, but we'll have to come back on that particular question. Your note about expenses in the first half not being shown in the second half of the year, part of that is due to the fact that some of the accounting of the expenses that we have, we're working with Julia and with the team to just make sure we're getting the expenses in the right categories. And sometimes those are just not, not exactly as precise as we'd like them to be. There is also payment of certain expenses like telerep that would happen only in the months of the pledge drive and not happen with any significance in the other months. We also have some built-in expenses, as I mentioned in my comments, around our repairs to our HVAC that we are budgeting for the first quarter of this calendar year. That wouldn't be reflected later in the year because those are one time. Our consultant expenses are what they are. They've been this way consistently for the last 3 to 4 years. That is due to our chief engineer and our local business and accounting support being as consultants. As 1099 versus being employees, and that is something that both individuals have requested and has been supported. You are quite right about interest and bank charges. They are our credit card fees. We also have a lockbox that collects the check donations that come to the station, and the bank charges us a service charge for that, which is very modest compared to having individuals do that work in the station. Office supplies will have to be something we come back to. I believe it is a mixture of some other expenses related that might even be related to some of our development expenses the envelopes and things that are necessary to mail out premiums. Again, premiums are based on our historical experience. I take your comments about PRA. We do offer the PRA products like the thumb drives, et cetera, in our pledge drives. We've done that for many years, that they've been offered, at least dating back to 2018, I believe. And we do provide that. Some of the payments to that are lumpy, whereas that we might pay a lot more than 1 year's worth of it. It might have occurred that have resulted in why the expenses look like they do. So I hope that addresses the major points that you were making.
Well, just a couple of comments. You're working backwards. Last year, your premiums was $60,000, and you've already spent like $2,000 this year. So I'm thinking your estimate of like $3,300 for this year is pretty under what it will be, what it should be. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, could
you tell us what cell you're looking at so we can all of us can play along?
Sure. I'm looking at row 89, column 0. And I also have the P&Ls open, so I'm looking at last year's as well. And for the premiums on the P&L, that is line 84. Column R for last year and T for October.
Again, I would say, Kim, that we did some catching up of payments to PRA for premiums from previous years. That again,
no, these aren't PRA. These are premiums from other vendors. PRA is zero for last year.
Again, bear with me, and I'm not trying to be argumentative with you, but what I'm trying to say is that there are times where premiums like PRA and others that might be Pacifica-based premiums may show up in premiums in general and not in the specific category.
Right.
We did have some payments that we should have provided to PRA in the past that we made up for in the last fiscal year. So that's the point I'm trying to make on those.
Right, got it. Okay. Okay, yeah.
May I make a quick comment?
Sure.
Go ahead, Julia.
Just as it relates to premiums also, and it ties into the office expenses, I caught a couple months ago or a few months ago that a lot of the postage was being not being posted to premiums postage. And that has been corrected. So while the number is low for the premiums postage or shipping, I'm assuming that some of that is probably wrapped up in the office supplies, potentially.
Julie, may I interject another question to you?
Or it's up in postage development mailing.
With new charts of accounts and new budget templates, some of this confusion would be cleared up, right?
No,
because they're using the same account numbers. It's just, for example, with the postage that was coming through, we didn't know that it was for premiums. It was just buying stamps or, you know, whatever, so we thought it would just be postage, not necessarily premiums, because it's different at WPFW. They mail out a lot of their stuff. In some places, they don't mail out a lot of it, so they don't, you know, it's not like the postage that's coming from the post office is that. Not sure if that makes sense, but we've caught some of that. So I think that there's probably some of that. I'd have to go back in and add up the rows between, say, you know, premium shipping and, you know, go back and look at what made up their office supplies, or again, that line item up above, although you don't have anything under postage development on line 86. If you look back at the actual, the financial statement that Kim is referring to, there is a line item of, you know, pretty significant mailings there.
And this is Jerry, if I may comment.
Jerry, let's Kim had the floor. Let's see where she is, and then.
Well, I'd like to speak to what Julia said, but I would happy to hear from Jerry before I speak again. Please go ahead, Jerry.
Sure. Thank you.
So this is in response. On the ground, I would have to say that our office expenses, the actual office expenses, are exceedingly low. So any numbers that you see that are excessive or any numbers at all are actually other expenses and our drive expenses, exactly those mailings and whatnot, because we don't have high office expenses at the operational level.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Yeah, I think a lot of this is, will get worked out going forward. And to James's point about, you know, a new chart of accounts, this is not a magic wand. These are human errors that a new chart of accounts won't solve this. And I would just like to see, the premiums really more realistically higher. I think you've already spent your budget already in November. So I think that number is really unrealistically low. And I also would really like to see the credit card fees separated from the bank charges, because those credit card fees really belong in development. And, you know, we need to sort of look at that and maybe, you know, question if we're getting the best rates on these things. And anyways, okay, those are my comments. I don't know what we should do about any of this going forward. So, but thank you for the conversation, Nick and Jerry, and hopefully somebody else will take the stack now.
Okay. Thank you, Kim. I heard someone there. Who was that?
Jerry, one last thing. I think that we have a nomenclature issue, if you will. When Kim was asking about our performance in terms of community events, one of the things that we caught was something was listed as a marathon, which was the assumption was that was some type of community event, where it was, in fact, a pledge drive that was called a marathon in accounting. So it was not a community event at all. So some of the things that we have to clarify are perhaps just accounting nomenclature of classification.
Oh, that would have ended up under fund drive telemark. That would have ended up in a different spot, and that is a bad account number series type thing, but that wouldn't show up under community events. But I do think there are some of that, and Ed has been gracious in trying to help me work through that.
I guess I
have to figure out the credit card fees and things like that.
Go ahead, Kim.
I have one more comment. You know, you know, the IED has never had, unlike other EDs in the past, who did have weekly meetings with the general managers. And I believe some stations like KPFA are doing like some kind of online community events. I haven't really looked at their thing yet, but there may be other, you know, units that have managed to provide community events that have brought in revenue. And I mean, I'm almost saying, you know, possibly, you know, there should be some revenue coming in from community events. I think that it's possible to do them if you want to go that route. So, I mean, an expense without a commensurate revenue, sort of, that shouldn't be. Now, you know, I'm not thrilled with this increase in major donor income, but at the least, it should be pushed towards the end of the year because it's, you know, it hasn't happened in December or January. And, you know, let's not conflate listener support with major donor income. So that's my comment. Thanks.
Kim, I want to, you already said that, this kind of begs the question, what do you want to do about some of your suggestions, especially the ones that aren't about general improvements in the future, but specific criticisms of this budget? Are you suggesting that this should be brought back to the drawing board and these corrections should be made? What are you suggesting, if anything?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just putting it out there, seeing if other people have comments. I don't think we're ready yet to decide. I'd like to hear what other people think.
Okay, that's a fair answer. I appreciate that. Was there anybody else for the stack?
R. Paul?
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay, I just have a little bit here. Okay, so line 32, income loss net. Bottom line is finishing FY22 with 14 and change, right? And
that's right.
Okay. And I'm seeing that, like, let's see, what July and September are showing fairly substantial losses, but they're made up for by things like May, where you're doing quite nicely. Oh, October and May are, you know, October and May look like they're close to $200,000 in the black, but then you've got some of these others here, so it's just a it's just a lot of very up and down, I guess, right?
Well, like our Paul, like every other station, you know, we live and breathe on the fundraising drive, and we do have months that we bring in large sums of money in the drives, and then we have other months where we don't have drives, where we don't. So that's
right.
That's just my experience has been that this has been the way it's been for the 5 years I've been involved.
Right. So it's just the usual way we all do it. Of you fill up for a while, and then the revenue kind of drops, so you get a lousy month the next month. So, all right. Okay. That was my major thing, to see what that was. There is, like, here and there I see some yellow things, like cell K64, which is interest bank charges, and it's a yellow highlight. The number in it is 6477. And there are some other yellow highlights later on under fund drive telemarketing expenses. Was there anything special about anything that's yellow highlighted?
No, those were just questions that we were working with Netta on. And so that there's nothing significant about those.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, R. Paul. I have a couple questions, but I'll see if anybody else has any.
Well, this is Lyndon. I have more, but
go ahead, Lyndon.
You haven't yet. Okay. Well, like our Paul, I was going to ask about the things in yellow and why they were highlighted. Yes, because they're high and they stand out is why they're highlighted. I would agree with Kim that I would like to see the interest bank charges delineated or broken out more. Maybe the July number, this is line 64, the July number of 875, that may be closer to just the pure bank cost or expense. I know ours is $1,000 or $1,100 here in Houston. And those drop boxes, I guess we have to have them, but I think they're awful expensive. Anyway, you know, where you have $4,400 in a month, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's not bank charges. And then I was, when I saw that 6477, you know, y'all were talking about interest on the P&O loan. I thought that was the number, but I see you do have a line 70 that's just reserved for that. And you're spreading your portion out over the 12 months, which I think is excellent. And, what is, I noticed you don't have any utilities for your office, utility expense for your office. And then I also see that your utilities for your tower is considerably smaller than some places, but I don't know what your watts are either. So you can just, out of curiosity, you can tell me that. And then Anita, does the budget have to be accrual or cash accounting? I mean, if you're going to put a budget together, of course, I'm going to defer to you because you're the one who has the education on this and the experience. But it seems to me like, you know, if you don't put this in your budget, it's not going to, you're not going to, you know, out of sight, out of mind as far as paying back those benefits and payroll from 2019.
I see the point that you're getting at, but still, if you have that expense, you know, each month, then you're accruing it essentially. Let's say, and several of the units have done this, of course, in the past, which is if it doesn't get paid, it doesn't get expensed. That is probably the biggest issue that we have. Because if it's not paid and not paid maybe until the following year, then it doesn't get in there for that year, unless if by chance we catch it. So, you know, I might have, I think I mentioned in one of the last meetings that I was with y'all, the ideal situation, I think, for us, besides, for, of course, how important budgets are to go back to the cash flows, if you will, because I think they really told us a lot, certainly the ongoing cash flow, the ins and outs. It gave us a good, you know, understanding. We also picked up, you know, bills that were sitting there that had not been paid, and they were not accrued anywhere. But, you know, there they were. And I think Julia has done a great job in putting together an accounts payable that is of all the units. I don't think that has been shared yet with anyone other than maybe a few individuals. But I think expanding it is certainly important. And then also, I do agree with Kim on the changing the chart of accounts isn't going to help, but us educating the individuals that are coding those invoices to start using the same description, if you will, has got to help for comparison's sake, if nothing else. And then I'll be quiet. Thank you.
Anita, I don't want you to be completely quiet yet. Lyndon, were you done?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay, Anita, I wanted to ask you a question.
Jerry, with some quick answers to Lyndon, if I may. Yeah, this is Jerry with some quick answers to some of Lyndon's questions. Lyndon, we're broadcasting at WPFW at full 50,000 watts. The only utility that would be associated with our transmitter location is, of course, the electric bill. There are no utilities at our office location because that's included in our lease rent. So that wouldn't be
excellent.
A budgeted
Thank
item.
You. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, I'm going to put myself on the stack for just a minute or two here. And I wanted to ask you, Anita, and Julia, whoever may know, there was that question about the pensions. And Kim commented about we thought we eliminated one of the pensions. And, of course, there were two entries here for pensions. And I just wanted to know if either one of you had caught that and might have an explanation.
We did not catch it, and Kim is right. There is just one pension. So, I mean,
right.
We could adjust that.
Okay. Appreciate that. And I wanted to go back to the art auction for just a moment. Last year, we allowed the art auction, even though we knew it was speculative on two counts. It was an auction, and you never know how an auction is going to work out. And I think you made the point that you were pricing or you were anticipating conservative results from the auction. But then the other speculation was, could we actually have this event? It's an event. You wanted people there. You needed people to be able to come in and walk around and see the art before it was auctioned. And clearly due to COVID, that didn't happen. So, but now you said, I think you said something to the effect of that it was, you thought it was, I forget the word you used, but it would be appropriate to put it in again this year. But
yeah.
Are we possibly having the same issue? Or?
Well, would you like me to comment about that, James?
Yeah, please.
So there, originally the concept was to have a physical auction, an event with the donor at a location near the station. That has been modified to the donor themselves selling his art at a with auction houses that specialize in the various art that he has and donating the proceeds to WPFW.
And that would be online, I presume? A lot of that's done online these days.
Online, exactly. We also want to bear in mind that donors do like to be acknowledged and do like, and this, you know, particular donor would like to have some kind of community event that would, you know, capture you know, his success in this area. So we're still trying to do that type of event where he would have some, you know, in person, real time recognition. But Jerry and the staff have worked with him on a letter where he, you know, where he promises to make that level of donation to the station, $125,000. And we're working with him to execute on completing that and then subsequently, you know, selling the art. The difficulty is we're not 100% driving the process. He's worked with several people in his family and people that he knows around selling the art, and we're managing this relationship. So we think it is definitely something that would happen in this fiscal year. Granted, we understand that others may not have that same belief, but we are, and Jerry's in very good communication, and it's just an older gentleman who we need to work with and help through the process. So we still think it is legitimate for us to keep this in the budget.